God. So if you give him your prayers and your smiles and be prepared to receive the word this day. Our brother, Elder Gary Jacobson.
Thank you, Stephen. I may have something up my sleeve for you, just to let you know, as far as the props go, but... not much of a sleeve. But greetings to each and every one of you. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I'm really glad to be here this day. All those that are live streaming, welcome. My heart's filled with joy. I really am excited to be able to bring the word that the Lord has put in my heart this day and throughout the last few weeks. I've been thinking about a lot of things. When we came to Sunday school this morning, I really listened to the prayers of our brothers and sisters when we're kneeling in prayer. And Brother Jared, he had asked the Lord that we could do those things that would help us change our ways and to do those things that would be pleasing to him. I don't know what those were the words exactly, but something along those lines. And that was basically, you know, the Lord telling me, hey, man, you're spot on. This is what the message that I had and what was put on my heart because some of the things that I've been going through here as of lately. But I really appreciated Steve's offer to be able to stand up and fill in for me if he had to. I know any brother would do that. I know Brother Jerry did that the other week when Brother Jim was dealing with a broken down vehicle. And I actually this morning walked up to Brother Jose and said that I was looking forward to hearing him preach this morning. And he just kind of looked at me and was like, oh, really? But nah, I was just giving him a hard time. But again, I thank the Lord for this opportunity. I thank for the Lord for the strength that he gives each and every one of us in our lives to be able to make changes. And that's something that we need to not be ashamed of, is you know what the Lord does with our hearts and with our minds and how he works upon us. And if we're willing to accept those things that he has for us, how our life can change. How it can always change for the better. That's what I was teaching my Sunday school class this morning, that, you know, as difficult as it can be, always remember that the Lord will go before you, he'll go with you, and he'll follow up behind you too. He'll be walking with you every step of the way. He'll give you that strength that you need. He'll give you the courage to be able to do it, and there's nothing to be ashamed of in that. And it only brings blessings in our life, and the Lord uses us more abundantly and blesses us more abundantly as we give ourselves more and more to him. It's a testimony in my life, and I praise the Lord for that, and I glorify him for that, for where he has brought me, that which he has given me. You know, nothing else compares to that. That is something that he can only give, that joy that I have in my heart and the peace that I have in my life. Even though life can be stressful and difficult at times, you know, the Lord is there. I think it's part of us, and I always tell my kids, and those that are around me, hey, you know what? When we go through these difficult times in our lives, no matter how frustrated, no matter how angry we can be, it builds character when we seek after doing the right thing. The Lord helps us build our character, helps us to become better Christians. And so I'm going to start this morning with the use of Romans chapter 1. And I'm going to read a couple verses there. And I'm going to read verses 16 and 17. Because I liked what the Apostle Paul was saying here, and it really kind of set the tone for me and what I wanted to bring to the pulpit this morning. So in Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, it says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." And I really, you know, have this strong faith in God in that he does things. He impresses us. He puts thoughts in our minds and in our hearts. He continuously works upon us. And, you know, these struggles that I was telling you with in my life here as of recently, it's within myself. And, you know, it's very difficult at times to be able to deal with things appropriately as God desires of us. And I'm very well aware that the Lord knows that. The Lord knows that we struggle with many things, and Satan does too. He knows our weaknesses, and that's what he goes after. But, you know, if we have the ability, if we are willing to change our lives, to change our hearts, to do those things that are right, that, and we have that faith that those changes will be made. Those changes will help us be able to overcome the difficulties that we have. You know, one of my things I've been dealing with recently, and I'm going to share this with all of you, is my patience and just really coming to the point to where it's just, you know, it's not who I want to be. It's not who I am when I lose my patience. And, you know, I am so humbled by the Lord as when I come up here and I stand knowing that we are in the presence of God, how it changes a person, how with us in our daily lives, our inner selves change us. But if we always have our hearts and our minds open that even when we do lose our patience, even when we do struggle, even when we do have frustrations, that we can overcome that. We can fix that. We can change it. The Lord will help us do that if our hearts are in the right place. And, you know, some of these changes in life can be very difficult. You know, I was telling our Sunday school class this morning that I used to smoke cigarettes. You know, it's an awful thing. It's disgusting. I can't stand even being around the presence of it anymore. But, you know, I smoked cigarettes for 7 years of my life. And, you know, it was very detrimental to my health. It was you know, causing me to wake up in the morning and to basically you're gasping for air at some point because you're choking because your lungs are filled with tar. And it always reminds me of when I was a child and my father, my dad, he smoked all his life too. It's probably the major cause of his death. But nevertheless, when I was a child, I remember that, you know, he used to wake up every morning and he would cough and cough and cough to the point to where he was actually like gagging because he just couldn't breathe. And it was, you know, one of those things I look back at, and if he would have made changes in his life, if he would have done, you know, those things that are beneficial to his physical health, you know, he probably would still be here today. And, you know, one of the things and the impressions that it gave me, you know, at first, you know, I wanted to be like my dad. So, you know, of course, I started smoking cigarettes and I started in my mom and I started drinking and doing all those bad things. And, you know, there came to a point in my life where I just said, no, I'm going to stop. And, you know, when I did stop, even in my physical life, I noticed the differences that it made. I felt better. I slept better. I felt better about myself. I just really started to enjoy life more. And, you know, it was a difficult decision and it was hard to make that change. But nevertheless, you know, I was diligent in doing so. And those changes that I made caused me to make decisions down further in my life. You know, I don't smoke now. I don't drink. I don't want nothing to do with it. I don't want to be around it. But nevertheless, you know, the Lord helps us in any changes that we have to make, no matter how difficult that they are. If we rely upon Him, He's going to give us the strength to do it. Some of those changes are going to be small, little fine tunes in our life. Some of those changes are going to be like climbing mountains, very difficult to do. You know, very hard because of society that we live in, the people that are around. Are we going to be accepted? Are we going to be cast out from groups, peer groups, you know, because we don't fit in no longer? But nevertheless, the Lord is always there. He will make something of us, what He wants us to be. If we put the Lord in our lives, we let Him mold who we are, change our hearts, change our minds, change our attitude, change the way that we look at things, He's going to do that. And we know that Alma, son of Alma, he was changed dramatically by the Lord. You know, he was trying to tear down the church of Christ, and he was approached by an angel of the Lord. He was struck dumb, and his father rejoiced. You know, I found that very profound and interesting. You know, it's almost like, man, this is what he needed. He needed to be really put in his place. And we know that his father had he had everybody come together and to fast and to pray for him. And, you know, that was one of the first things that you read after that had happened. The people carried him to his father, laid him down at his feet, and the people fasted and prayed for 2 days and two nights. And one of the things that his father was saying, that the people would see and know the goodness of God. And how neat is that? And how true was that? And not only did that happen for a reason, and that change that was made in Alma's life have a profound effect on him, but he continued on in his life to have to change multiple lives. The gospel that we have, we read about it. We read about how we can be encouraged by it. And we know that those dramatic changes that he had in his life, that all men, women, and nations, kindreds, tongues that listen, that hear that word that he preached in the Book of Mormon, we can grow strength from that. We can help ourselves change from that. I'm going to read a few verses from that. It's on page 288 in the Book of Mosiah. If you'll turn there. We're going to read verses 186 through 192 of chapter 11, page 288. And this is after the fact when he regained his strength and he was opened up to see and know of the goodness of God. Alma said, "For said he, I have repented of my sins and have been redeemed of the Lord. Behold, I am born of the Spirit. And the Lord said unto me, Marvel not that all mankind, yea, men, women, and women, all nations, kindreds, tongues, and people, must be born again. Yea, born of God, changed from their carnal and fallen state to a state of righteousness, being redeemed of God, becoming his sons and daughters, and thus they became new creatures. And unless they do this, they can in no wise inherit the kingdom of God. I say unto you, unless this be the case, they must be cast off, and this I know, because I was like to be cast off. Nevertheless, after wading through much tribulation, repenting nigh unto death, the Lord in mercy hath seen fit to snatch me out of an everlasting burning, and I am born of God. My soul hath been redeemed from the gall of bitterness and the bonds of iniquity. I was in the darkest abyss, but now I behold the marvelous light of God." And that's my desire for each of us, is to be able to see that, to understand that if we have this miraculous change in our lives and we give our hearts over to God, that we will see this, that we will be able to see the changes take place, to see what the Lord does in our lives. You know, he is the invisible God, but he is with us. He is among us. He is within us. He works upon our heart. He gives us those things that we need to do. He helps us be able to become those new creatures. He helps us to be able to overcome those dark places and to pull ourselves out of that dark abyss. And one of the things I've been kind of observing in the last few months here is the ministry as they preach. You know, we have ministry that is going through difficult times in their lives. And it's hard, and it's a struggle. And, you know, as ministry, we all make mistakes too. But one of the things I noticed is that, you know, I have a desire, and I believe that each and every one of us have a desire to share our mistakes, to share our shortcomings, our failures, our struggles, our trials. You know, there's a lot of lessons to be learned, and there's a lot of things in life that we could gain from sharing these things, from opening up our hearts, from not having a hard heart. You know, those experiences, both good and bad. You know, a lot of times we sit down amongst ourselves and within our families and we try to teach. We try to teach that which is right, how God wants things to be and why God wants things to be and how we're going to be better off through following after the actions that Christ wants us to take. You know, and we're all in this fight together. We all go through suffering. We all go through pain. But we all have each other to be able to help us get through that. Whatever Satan throws at us, we know that we can have support from each other, from our brothers and sisters, to be able to overcome those things that he tries, those pitfalls that he tries to put in place, the stumbling blocks that he throws in front of us. You know, it can be difficult. There's many things, many trials that we go through and many sins that we have to repent for on a daily basis sometimes. It could be difficult. But we know that, you know, through all these trials, if our hearts are in the right place, if our minds are in the right place, if we're seeking after the Lord and relying upon him and inviting him in our lives that we will be able to overcome. You know, sins are abundant in this world. It's even difficult to watch TV commercials on TV nowadays. We have to change the channel real quick. We have to tell the kids, cover your eyes real quick, turn your heads away. You know, it seems like every time where we have the TV on that there's something that we got to be cautious about, that we got to be aware of. But that's life. You know, Satan's going to be there at every turn trying to get us. He's going to be there trying to help us go down the wrong path, trying to not help us, but make us go down the wrong path. You know, it's very, very abundant throughout this nation and throughout the world, the amount of sin that we have to deal with on a day-to-day basis. And I'm going to turn back in the book of Messiah, chapter 2. I'm going to read a couple of verses there because I really caught a couple of good comments that King Benjamin made, and I also got one from the Apostle Paul that I wanted to share with you this morning. And the first one from King Benjamin, he makes a comment in regard to sin. And it's in the book of Messiah, chapter 2, on page 223. Let me get there real quick. I got it written down here, but I really like reading along and with you guys. And you never know, maybe I'll call upon somebody to read in one of my sermons one of these days. Maybe I'll put that up my sleeve, little sleeve I have. But, okay, let's go to chapter 2. I'm going to read verses 48 through 50. And this is King Benjamin. And finally, I cannot tell you all the things whereby ye may commit sin, for there are diverse ways and means, even so many that I cannot number them. You know, so this is something that, you know, it's not just with the society that we deal with today and life that we deal with today. This is from, I'm sure, from the beginning all the way till our kids, their generation, the generation after that. We're all going to have to be dealing with this. You know, so many, I cannot number them. And this is in 124 BC approximately. And so, you know, they're abundant. They're all around us. They're every turn that we make. There's something there that's going to try to trip, that Satan's going to try to trip us up with. But he says, but this much I can tell you, that if you do not watch yourselves and your thoughts and your words and your deeds and observe to keep the commandments of God and continue in the faith of what ye have heard concerning the coming of our Lord, even unto the end of the lives, ye must perish. And now, O man, remember, and perish not. And that's the trick. That's the key, is that we must observe and be diligent in watching where we go, what we do, and what we say. How we say it has an important effect on others and their reactions to that. You know, our approach, and, you know, are we going to be on the defensive as soon as we say something? Are we going to really put up the walls and shut it down and not even listen? You know, we have to be careful in even how we approach somebody, our body language, and what we're going to say. As Christians, you know, are we showing humility? Are we really looking at those steps that we're taking in a caring and loving way with our hearts in the right place to be able to approach a person sincerely with the love of God in our hearts? You know, it could be very difficult at times. It could be hard, and we struggle with it. I have personally struggled with that here as of recently. It's tough. It is very difficult. But when we stop and we look back and we realize what we did wrong, and we pray to God to give us strength to overcome that action that we took, he's going to help us be able to do that. He's going to give us the ability to be able to do that. Our sister Katie, I'm going to bring it up again. Katie, where are you at? Boy, there you are, right there. You know, I was thinking about you yesterday as I was doing this in this verse, in verse 49, that if you do not watch yourselves, you know, it's that brought to mind your testimony of number 377, don't step there. You know, we're all in this life. We're all walking down it. And, you know, I wrote the verses down here again. I appreciated your testimony 100%. Simple little life stories, simple little things that we learn as children, unfortunately not myself, but, you know, we have those ingrained into our heart. You know, as silly as it may seem, as we're adults, I heard her joking around about coming up here and actually singing it. But, you know, nevertheless, it had a profound effect on who she is and how she thinks and where she's going in her life. And so that says in verse 1, as on the path of life we tread, we come to many a place, you know, there's many sins out there, we come to many places too, where if not careful, we may fall and sink into disgrace. You know, that's something that's bound to happen if we're not careful, if we're not watching where we're going, if we're not being careful of what we're doing and how we're doing it. You know, even little things. Some idle habit, you know, me smoking, you know, that was a idle habit. You know, it just was casual. It wasn't something that, you know, it was just a day-to-day, just normal kind of routine. So some idle habit, word or thought, some sin, however small, it may make us stumble in the path. In stumbling, we may fall. And then what I really appreciate is verse 3 again, is our fellow travelers on the road will watch with anxious care. And when they reach some dangerous spot, we'll warn them, don't step there. And, you know, it's preached over the pulpit. You know, hey, be careful of what's out there. Be careful of all the sins that are in the world that we can fall, that can drag us down, that can pull us away, pull us into that dark abyss. Be careful of that. The brothers and sisters here, the ministry here, you know, all those that are in the Church of Christ are there to support us, to help us be able to not go to those places where we can't come back from unless we repent and do those things according to the Lord's commandments. And so in Proverbs chapter 4, I wanted to tie this in with it. Verse 23 through 27 in Proverbs chapter 4. Okay. 23 through 27. Okay. So it says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. You know, our heart can really cause things to happen, whether they're good or whether they're bad. It just depends on where our heart's at. Put away from thee a forward mouth and perverse lips, put afar from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the paths of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. And our hearts will be in the right place if we remove our feet from evil. And, you know, I think about the heart. You know, there's pretty much two sides of the spectrum of it. We read about it over. I was going through and the Book of Mormon, kind of in my study, and in the gospel. And when it speaks of the heart, you know, basically, there's a hard heart and there's a soft heart. Some of the words that I put together with the hard heart: anger, rage, bitterness, vengeance, pride, foolish imaginations, hypocrisy, deceptions, contention, and wickedness. You know, these are all the things of a hard heart. It's very difficult to make anything happen for good when your heart is hardened. We read about that over and over in the scriptures. We see it happen in life. We know that when somebody, even ourselves, have a hard heart. We know that we're like that. The Lord lets us realize that. The Holy Ghost shows that to us. You know, if we're really examining ourselves and being true to ourselves and to our God, we will know what we need to change in our lives. We'll know what we need to fix and what we're weak at. Now, a soft heart, lowliness, humility, meekness, sincerity, forgiveness, penitent, merciful, and charitable. Those are some of the good words that I pulled out of the gospel in regards to a soft heart. And you know, with a hardened heart, it's very, very difficult to change a hardened heart. And Steve, I got you today. See, look at that. Look at that. I snuck one in. So, let me put that. So, you know, a hardened heart, you know, sometimes our hearts are as hard as a rock. You know, I don't want to damage that. Brian's not here, I guess you won't see that. But, you know, there's not much you could do with a rock, right? This is a pretty good river rock. I like it. But, you know, there's only a couple things you could do with this rock as far as breaking it down. You can't mold it. You can't shape it. Basically, you can break it, right? You could break this, you could break a heart. And a heart could be so hard sometimes because it is broken. It's something that it can't be worked with. The Lord can't work with a hardened heart. Life can be a lot more difficult with a hardened heart. It can be very, very much of a struggle for us, you know, with our hearts if they're hardened. You know, but, you know, this here, see, Play-Doh. This is actually Eric's. I don't know how old he was when he got it, but, man, it's still pliable. And our soft hearts, you know, we can do a lot of things with a soft heart. The Lord can do a lot of things with a soft heart. We can make something out of clay. It's basically clay. We can make a bowl to eat out of that we can share with. We can make a cup to drink out of that the waters of life could be poured into and given freely to each other. It could be shaped. It can be turned into whatever the Lord wants to turn it into, if that's our heart. He can do those things. He makes it possible if our hearts are soft, if they are, if it is in the right place. You know, really, really a simple life lesson. You know, when we look at these things, it's challenging for us to make a change like that. It could be very hard. It could be very difficult. But we know that the Lord, you know, will use us. He'll mold us. He'll shape us. He'll create what He wants us to be. And not only will it be a blessing for us, but it'll be a blessing for others. And we know that the Lord can do that, but we can't have our hearts hardened. We have to be able to let the Lord work upon us. We have to be willing to make those changes. As difficult as can be, as prideful as we can be, as hard as it is to make a change, whether it's for our physical being and or our spiritual being, we know that Play-Doh always smells funny. But we know that the Lord is always there with us and willing to do that if we're willing to give ourselves to Him. You know, if we're willing to put our lives in His hands, He will make the best of it. He will make the best of us. Okay, so moving on, I found it very interesting, Paul's comments in regards to sin. And that's in Romans chapter 3. Let's go there real quick. I'm going to read a few verses, 23 through 26. Okay? Romans 3, 23 through 26. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be the propitiation. I said this word over and over at my house because I get tongue-tied sometimes, especially when I'm in front of a crowd. Propitiation through the faith in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Okay? And so the forbearance of God, you know, he is very forbearing. And in Strong's 430, for all those that need a quick definition, that is to be able to put up with. You know, he's very forbearing of me. I have to be forbearing towards others. Others have to be forbearing towards me. God is forbearing towards us. We all know that. And even my kids have to be forbearing towards me. As, you know, big and mean as I can be sometimes, we have to be forbearing to each other. And we can be that when we have the love of God in us. Things can be said, things can be done, but through God and through our own understanding in our hearts, that if we want and have the desire and the strength through God to do the right thing, that we can be forbearing and overcome and fix those, make those changes and fix those mistakes in which we've had in the past. It could be very difficult for people. It could be, especially when we're dealing with pride, especially when we're dealing with situations that happened in the past that we can't let go of, that we can't forgive each other for. Those things can be very difficult to deal with. But through God, we can overcome those things. And I really like the verse 26 that says, "To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus." You know, a lot of times in our own childish ways, even at my age, I act like a kid a lot of times. You know, it's very hard for me to change. You know, in all reality, I've had the same haircut for over 15 years. And it was very difficult to me to make a change to my haircut. And I did it. So I have to see counseling now, but it's okay. No, but you know, it's one of those things. I don't want to change. I like who I get up, I'm a robot, you know, kind of thing. I know how to comb my hair. I don't want to have to change how I move my hands in the morning when I'm half asleep. But nevertheless, you know, we're creatures of habit, and it's hard to make a change. But sometimes, you know, it's hard for us to make changes that are a little bit more serious, right? You know, because in all of our ways, in our natural state of who we are as human beings, you know, I don't want to do that. You know, why do I have to do that? You know, we become childish in our manners. We just don't want, it's not fair. I don't want to. I'm mad and I'm going to be mad. You know, that's just the way it's going to be. But that's detrimental to our spiritual welfare. And the Lord is fair. He is just. He does have a reason of why, as difficult as it may be, that it needs to be done. Because if we want to spend eternity with him, you know, we have to make sure that we're making those right choices. I'm going to read an example. And the Lord was speaking to the house of Israel in Ezekiel. And I really like this one. Whew. Okay, I'm doing all right. All right. Chapter 18, 25 through 32. Chapter 18, 25 through 32. Okay, and this is the Lord speaking to Ezekiel. And he says, Ezekiel 18, 25 through 32. He's speaking to the house of Israel. "Yet ye say, the way of the Lord is not equal." It's not fair. "Hear now, O house of Israel, is not my way equal? Are not your ways unequal?" You know, they wanted to do all the things that they were doing, worship the false idols, the false gods. "When a righteous man turneth away from his righteousness and committeth iniquity and dieth in them, for his iniquity that he hath done shall he die." You know, you made your bed, lie in it. "Again, when the wicked man turneth away from his wickedness that he hath committed and doeth that which is lawful and right, he shall save his soul alive, because he considereth and turneth away from all his transgressions that he hath committed. He surely live, he shall not die. Yet saith the house of Israel, the way of the Lord is not equal. O house of Israel, are not my ways equal? Are not your ways unequal? Therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, every one according to his ways, saith the Lord. Repent and turn yourselves from all your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your ruin." You know, turn yourselves, change yourselves, think about yourselves. "Cast away from you all your transgressions whereby ye have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will ye die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord God. Wherefore, turn yourselves and live ye." He's very subtle, very, very strong words there by the Lord. You know, he cares about each and every one of us. But, you know, in our human nature, we want to, you know, do what we want to do, and oh, I want to just be like this. It's not fair. Why do I have to do that? That's what I get from this. I hope that some of you see that, and I hope some of you understand that. So we have to change. We have to constantly be changing. I'm going to read a little something. I was kind of doing a little studying on change, and I found this interesting article by some smart guy, His name is James Prochaska, and he wrote The Trans-Theoretical Model of Behavior Change. And there's different stages of change that hopefully we can understand why it might be pretty difficult for us to walk down this. And I was like, boy, if he would have just plugged some of these scriptures in here, boy, this would be some really good stuff. But nevertheless, I think you guys will see where I'm going with this. So one of the first stage of change is pre-contemplation, okay? Pre-contemplation. Boy, this is some smart stuff here. So hopefully I can keep up even. The first stage of change is one in which individuals may be aware of the behavioral change they desire. So hey, you know, man, I've really been doing this, smoking these cigarettes for quite some time. I really kind of want to stop. However, they have no conscious intentions of altering, changing, or stopping their behavior. Oftentimes, this may be due to a lack of insight or full awareness into their problems. One may also find themselves in this stage due to numerous unsuccessful attempts to change that have led them to give up trying. Boy, who does that sound like? Wants us to give up trying. It's hopeless. I'm done. This is just what's going to kill me. This is what's going to be my fate. You know, I have no more hope. I have no more strength. This is it. That's Satan working on us. And in order to progress through this stage, it is essential to instill motivation towards change within. Brothers and sisters in the gospel, that's what we're here for, to lift each other up. The Lord will lift us up. He will help us through that stage. You know, but people with no hope, it's difficult. They're bound. They're chained. Satan's got them. They're in his grasp. Stage two, contemplation. The contemplation stage of change is characterized by having further insight and awareness into the behavior that is up for debate. At this stage, an individual acknowledges that they have a problem and begins an internal debate about pursuing the change. This could be a difficult battle within us a lot of times too. This can be the most difficult and frustrating stage of the change, as it entails a high level of uncertainty. You know, one of the biggest things about change is the fear of the unknown. A substantial amount of time may be spent in this stage because many people may not find themselves ready to commit to making a change. Man, I don't know if I want to do that. Boy, I got all these good friends that I go out and I hang out with and I party with. Man, they're just not going to be my friends no more. They're going to think I'm a square. That's an old term. But, you know, I'm not going to fit in. They may remain in this stage, perhaps feeling stuck as they go back and forth between measuring the benefits and the cost of behavioral change. You know, and that's one of the things I was talking about in our Sunday school class is when you start doing those things that are fruitful for God and you kind of put them on a scale and the scale starts out weighing the bad things, the Lord's going to know that. You're going to know that. You're going to look back and see all the blessings that come with that. But to progress through the contemplation stage and perhaps rid yourself of an overwhelming sense of uncertainty, it may be helpful to do a cost and benefit analysis. I do this. I like that. You know, hey, these are the pros, these are the cons, you know, these are the rewards, these are the benefits, this is what's going to happen if I don't do this. You know, put it all out on the table in your life. Really, just put it on the table, put it on paper, whatever you have to do, and look at it and think to yourself, you know, where am I going to be a year from now, 6 months from now, 2 years from now, 5 years, 10, you know, what is this going to do for me? Help yourself see that. Find the way. Ask for help to be able to open your eyes and your ears. Ask the help from the Lord. And then, okay, preparation is the next stage. Individuals progress to the preparation stage of change upon committing to the intention to the change in the immediate future. You know, you got to commit yourself. Once I do this, there ain't no looking back. You know, I am focused. I am staying on the path. The advantages of making said changes have been established as outweighing the costs that they might incur. It is at this stage that one may begin to actually take or experiment with small steps towards change. You know, we read about that word of God in the book of Alma, chapter 16, that word of God being planted within you as a seed and to experiment with it. You know, that's what we're looking at here. You know, do that with God. Experiment with Him. Give Him that opportunity. Typically, within this period of 1 month, Yeah, that'll be 1 month of the change. You'll notice something happen. And, you know, I have this example here. I'm not going to read that, though. It's kind of like a diet. You know, you see all those things. Okay, but it says, what makes or breaks whether an individual progresses through this stage to the next is their commitment to exploring, planning, and ensuring. You have to plan. You fail to plan, plan to fail kind of thing. Think through all the possible avenues towards change. Explore how you will achieve the change that you desire. And I guarantee you that if there's a change that you need to make in your life, and your desire is to give your heart to God and to let it be soft, He will make that change for you. Okay? One more stage. Action stage, action. When individuals move from planning to doing, they progress to the action stage of change. Someone within this stage has put his or her plans into action and made significant behavioral changes within the past 1 to 6 months. By adhering to our plans, we have made substantial adjustments to our relationships, our routines, our environments, and perhaps even to ourselves in order to further change the change we desire. Man, I mean, this is just good stuff here. This is what the Book of Mormon, this is what the Bible teaches us. You know, I'm going to go and I'm going to preach to this guy. So it says, this may be the stage where the most commitment is required. Kind of like, you know, are we ready to enter into the waters of baptism? Are we ready to do that? It's a commitment. It's a covenant that we make. And it may be essential for someone moving through it to delegate a large amount of time to sticking to his or her plans for behavioral changes. You know, what the Lord asks us to do. Stick to the plan. Trust in me. Put your strength in me. I'll put your weaknesses in me, and I'll strengthen those weaknesses. Okay, so but a very common experience one may have during this stage is an increased pressure or negative feedback from those who played a role in an individual's undesired behavior. Wow, what does that sound like? On the other hand, one may begin to notice an increase in praise and encouragement from those who are supportive. Man, this is like solid. It is important to continually reflect back upon the advantages of the commitment you have made. Check in with your plans, as check in with God, you know, communicate to Him, open yourselves up to Him, as well as provide yourself positive reinforcement. Come to church, you know, the Lord commands us to meet here together often, you know, pray, sing, rejoice. Our brother Adam was telling us on Wednesday night, boy, you guys really, you know, we could feel it when our hearts are full of joy and that we're praising the Lord. Acknowledgement of the progress you have made thus far and a reflection upon what you have gained is essential. Lastly, be kind to yourself. It is likely that you are working towards a long-term change. Okay? Be kind to yourself. Soft heart, being charitable, you know, be kind towards others, and you will have that long-term change that you desired fall into place, and you'll be able to overcome. You'll be able to understand that, yeah, it is difficult, but at the same time, no matter what, if my heart's in the right place, the Lord can do what He wants with it, and I'll be able to change. I'll be able to do those things. I'll be able to go places and to meet people and to share the gospel and to be a light for God. Really interesting. That guy's pretty smart, but he just needs to throw some of the scriptures in there with it. But, okay, we're going to turn to page 551 in the Book of Mormon. We're going to just read two verses here, 25 and 26. It's chapter 2, Book of Helaman. Did I say the book? Yeah, I said the Book of Mormon. But it's in the Book of Helaman, chapter 2. Verses 25 and 26. Thus may we see that the Lord is merciful unto all who will in the sincerity of their hearts call upon His holy name. Yea, thus we see that the gate of heaven is open unto all, even those who will believe on the name of Jesus Christ, which is the Son of God. Yea, we see that whosoever will lay hold upon the word of God, which is quick and powerful, which shall divide asunder all the cunning and the snares and the wiles of the devil, and lead the man of Christ in a straight and narrow course across the everlasting gulf of misery, which is prepared to engulf the wicked and land their souls, yea, their immortal souls, at the right hand of God in the kingdom of heaven, to sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and with all our holy fathers, to go out no more. Pretty neat. You know, the Lord, if He is our rock, we will overcome, we will prevail. If our hearts are hardened like a rock, we're going to fail. And we need to make sure that we are letting the Lord do His will in our lives, and that we're willing to be able to give our lives to the Lord. So I did have a couple things up my sleeve today. I still got it. But my prayers for each and every one of you, that maybe this touched your heart in some sort of way, that you'll help yourselves make changes in your life to be able to do those things that the Lord desires, I desire, each and every one of us desire, to overcome those struggles and the difficulties that we have. So may God bless you in that endeavor.